was 8:30. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. Good morning. My name is Colin Worthington. Our two handsome guests sitting across the desk from me this morning represent the Carroll County Schools District. Got the Board of Education Chairman Bryant Turner on my left, and on my right, Carroll County Schools District Superintendent Scott Cowart. Get all the schools together, and I'll get them right eventually. All right, you guys, cool enough to join us this morning and talk about the coming school year. We're about halfway through. You started on Friday. We'll still count this the first week. About halfway through the first week, we'll talk about some new things for the coming school year, and maybe look back on the progress from the last year as well. First of all, though, Bryant, I did ask you before the show if you feel comfortable talking about this. I mean, it's a heart-wrenching weekend for you. Today is going to be a pretty busy day, and a day of dealing with the passing of friends. A plane crash a week and a half ago at this point resulted in 7 residents of Carroll County passing away. And I learned this weekend, very good friends of yours, obviously the pilot and his wife, the Haneys, had service on Saturday. You want to reflect and just comment on the Haneys? Today, the service for the Nealon family and Kistler family. Again, they'll both be at Riverville Road Baptist Church where you're the music minister. That's why you'll be involved with that. That's coming up this afternoon. But yeah, if you want to say anything about the Haneys.
Sure. Yeah, it's just a tragic thing when you see people that have invested heavily here, in our community and our church and those around, and impacted a lot of people's lives in a lot of great ways. And to see those families actually sacrificed during a time that they were going to serve, the Haney serving by helping transport the Nealons to be a part of a big gospel music event that was going out of Alaska area. And so just to see, them actually pass, at a time of service, that sort of defines who they are. We had the Haney service this past Saturday, and just an amazing time to begin the healing for our church congregation and their families, and our hearts go out to their kids that are grandkids that are left behind. And then today to try to find some closure for the Nealons and their family and the Kistlers. We were very close friends with them too, so probably there was not a person there that didn't pass that we weren't close friends, but also ministered with and served alongside. So our heart goes out to them and our congregation, and then too, just across the gospel music family across the country who are, also give up a lot of cherished memories and friends during this time.
And that service will be live streamed on.
Yeah, the Nealons and the Kistlers will be live streamed at our website, rootfulroad.org, today. Their service starts at 1 p.m. Then Melody's, Melody Hodges, which was a good friend that was on the plane, her service is going to be in Virginia on Thursday. And then the Kistlers will have a memorial for them in Nathan's hometown in Morganton, North Carolina on Saturday.
All right. Very good. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Colin.
Again, Bryant Turner and Scott Cowart, our guests this morning as we talk about the upcoming school year, Carroll County Schools District, 23 schools, 24? I should know that because it's strong, right, 23, 24?
We've got 23 traditional schools.
Schools, okay.
K-12, yeah.
And what are we counting, the non-traditional schools?
We've got 2 college and career academies, okay. And, obviously, amazing programs there. We've got our 12 for Life program. We partner with Southwire on, and then we also have an alternative program which houses our online campus where we have students who do all of their education online, and we have what we call our extended day program. We have people across our community who've dropped out at some point, and they decide they want to come back and they can do it at their own pace. So they're part of that program, as well as students who choose to have their education in an alternative environment. So when you put all that together, we got 20, I guess that's 27 sites.
Yeah. So the 15,000 students, is that what
we're up to? About 16,300 students. That's what we ended the year at, and we'll be over that this year as we get things in place.
And then when do you guys determine how many students will be at this year? I mean, you wait like 2 weeks or something, but there's a mark where you say, all right, well, this is the mark that we're starting with this year. I mean, do students drop out after the week? Do they transfer?
Well, in our community, there's movement of students all the time. We'll start the first day of school, and typically we'll have several hundred who wait to the second day of school. And then we'll have a trickle in to about day 10. and day 10 gives us a pretty good count. But for the state, the important day is day 40, which is the what's called the FTE count. And that's when the state actually determines what our funding will be for the next year based on that number on day 40. So that's the date we actually shoot for to get that.
And that's when you guys share that.
And what's amazing, Colin, is every year, and I've studied historically, we build up to that day 40. I mean, we'll grow a little bit along, and we'll get to day 40. And about that point, it'll kind of a plateau for the rest of the year after that.
And Villarrica, that cluster, does that continue to be the, or is that the largest cluster, or is it central?
No, Villarrica is our largest cluster. I mean, it has right about nearly 40% of our students there in Villarrica. And then, of course, Central's right behind it. Central's growing, but our whole district's growing right now. And so it's something that I appreciate the board's stance over the last several years. And 2 years ago, they instructed me to prepare a master plan to make sure that we were prepared for growth, and they approved that last November. So that's in place. That gives us a 5 and 10 year look at what we need to do to make sure our facilities are in place to handle the growth that's coming in our community.
I thought it was funny, you know, you sort of started off talking about the number of students, you know, within the district, and it's sort of indicative of the situation we're in that the growth has been enormous over the last couple years. I mean, I think we've picked up close to 1,400 students in the last 2 years. So that's enormous growth for Carroll County Schools. But it's been good growth. It's been, you know, something we've been able to be planning for and looking towards, as Mr. Coward already shared about the master planning, as well as we also took some very preemptive approaches to some redistricting lines, you know, still keeping in mind that we want parents to still have some choice and some ability to be a part of that, but us having to restructure some of those vacant classrooms in certain parts of the county as others were, you know, growing to capacity. So we've made some adjustments to sort of pinwheel some of that, and so far that's been very, very successful to try to mitigate that growth. But it's, I thought it was funny, you know, you were hitting the number that was just 2 years doesn't seem that long when you're looking at it, but that's about the difference in, you know, what you were thinking,
right,
on student number.
Sure. You talk about the redistricting. And that can't be an easy decision just because, I mean, you have to do it. I mean, if you're going to, you know, accommodate the schools, but I know the parents are not going to be excited about it when you do make that decision because there's commitment to that school. And I don't think you actually changed. Did you change any clusters? I mean, did Villarrica some go to Temple at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every cluster was involved this time. There were over 850 students total involved in the district shifting. And of course, it was mainly geared towards trying to reduce the numbers on the north end and kind of shift south and west, if you think about it that way. But every cluster was involved. Looking at the numbers yesterday afternoon, we can see where it definitely brought relief in the Villarrica cluster. And it grew, Mount Zion, Bowden grew from that, and Temple grew from that. So. And from Central, there was a little bit of a swapping. Some of the Central kids went to Mount Zion, but some more Villarrica kids went to Central, so they wound up about neutral in the move.
All right, time right now is, did you want to say something, Brian?
Yeah, I was just going to say for us as a board and our leadership, it was about stewardship. You know, it was trying to be a good steward of the ability for those that may be fuller and those that may not. You know, we have to look at it as a whole. We don't want to, you know, we want every child to have the same opportunity across the county. If we're going to do that, we got to make sure that we create some type of way to mitigate that. And so for us, it was just an easy decision to say, hey, we have a little bit of space here. Let's adjust. Let's turn that wheel just a little bit and continue to provide those same services for every kid.
How often might that be necessary as far as considering the districts? Is that something you guys have to look at every year? You kind of put this away now and look back at it 5 years from now?
That's a great question. Actually, we study it every year as we look at enrollment projections and growth every year. This is the second time in the last 3 years that we've done an attendance line adjustment. Now, this was by far the biggest. The time before was much more contained, but it's based on what the need is and what we see on that. But as Bryant said, we still, and I appreciate the board's stance on this, that we allow parents the opportunity to have choice in that. They can choose to remain at their current school if they provide transportation. And we're committed to choice, and so that's something we do.
And talk about 5, 10-year, 20-year plan. When do you see a need for a new school? Is that in that discussion? Is like, hey, possibly 10 years from now, we're going to need a new school in a certain place? Does that come up at all?
Well, one of the things that when you look at the history of Carroll County and the way our schools have kind of populated. You know, we had, as Bryant said, we had places where we had vacant classrooms and we had places where there were not enough classrooms. And the move has helped balance that to a degree. But we've still got a great deal of capacity in as we look at our buildings and what we can do over the next 5 to 10 years. In school business, it's really hard to project beyond 5 years because you really don't know what that enrollment's going to be from year to year. We've got a 10-year plan, and the 10-year plan is based on accelerated growth. But if it slows down, then obviously we may not have to go as fast with some of that. Looking at school, actual new school right now, in the next 5 years, we don't see that being a possibility. But as we study the next several years, that could be a possibility out further than that.
And you guys have added classrooms to some schools, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the great things about SPLOSS is it's given us the ability over the last many years to add classrooms when we needed. And that's what I meant earlier, when several of our campuses still have the ability for us to build classrooms and add capacity on both sides, with that. And that's what we'll do, because going back to what Mr. Turner said, that's better stewardship of our taxpayer money. To build a brand new school right now is extremely expensive. One of our neighbors to the north just built a middle school for over $100 million. Mm. Yeah. And so, when we think about money.
You can't go back to the log cabins.
I don't think so. Yeah.
All right, time right now is 8:40. We'll take our first break, continue our conversation with Scott Cowart and Bryant Turner with the Carroll County Schools District. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to post those on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I'll try and take a look at those during the break. We'll have more after this. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest this morning, Carroll County Schools Superintendent Scott Cowart and Board of Education Chairman Bryant Turner, talking about the upcoming school year, and we'll reflect back on the previous year a little bit. For the coming school year, how about projects? I know the one big one that we talked about the last 3 or 4 months of the last school year was the new bus. Well, I don't know if it's a bus barn or not, but it's out there towards the city limits of Carrollton, right off of Bankhead Highway, the former VFW Fairgrounds. Yeah. You guys are doing something big there.
Yeah, the old Fairgrounds property, the board allowed us to purchase that about 2 years ago, and now we're developing it, and we're moving our transportation department, our maintenance department, our school nutrition department, and our alternative program there. So we'll have a campus that'll be our operations center, and we're really, really excited. We should be starting to move into that towards the end of this month. It'll probably all through the first 9 weeks. We'll kind of stagger which of the departments move, but it's going to be a more centralized site for our different departments, and plus modern facilities, more storage space. None of us ever have enough storage space, but we'll have some more storage and ability to put all of our buses out there. So it's going to be a great facility.
How about the current property? What's going to happen to that?
The current property actually belongs to the county. We just have such a great partnership with our community and our county and our local governments. And our bus barn and maintenance shop right now is on property owned by the county. So it will revert back to them. And they've got plans because they're expanding and growing too. Sure. And so they need the space. And so, that'll be a good thing for them.
Talked about partnerships. We can talk about additional partnerships with Carroll County. There's one up here across from the sheriff's office. That you guys agreed to use a property there, and then any partnerships you have going on with UWG or anybody else?
Oh, absolutely. So as part of our College and Career Academy program, one of the things we've heard from our community for a number of years is they wanted to see us add a construction program back into the school system. And so partnering with the county, and thank goodness Chairman Morgan and all the commissioners were very receptive to it. The old West Georgia Technical College property had a building on the back side of it that was a metal building where it used to be the welding lab. And so they allowed us to be able to use that for the next several years. And so we started a construction program this year in partnership with them and a number of our local businesses who are partnering with us to help our students get the experiences that would help them maybe move into that type of career field after they leave the school system. But a second partnership that I want to highlight too is with the college. Last year we started a program called Go West Early. It was a pilot program with Villarica High School and West Georgia College. It's an immersion dual enrollment program where we have students who go not just like for a class or do an online class. They actually go to the college and are immersed in the day and on the campus during the life of the college. For more than just a class. It could be two, three classes, or it could be all day almost.
They have to find a way to feed themselves. They have to waste 20 minutes during the day. So, I mean, it's all important things.
They learn all the parts of being a college student, so to speak. And so that was extremely successful. The college did an amazing job of helping us, number one, figure out how to do it and what were the potholes, so to speak, that we needed to fix to make it where our students got the best experience possible. And because of that pilot, then we extended it to all five of our high schools this year. We've more than doubled the number of our students who will be involved. I think right now we're about 160 or 70 of our high school students who will be doing this immersion program. Now, we still have hundreds of students who do traditional dual enrollment. And so this is a really powerful thing. What's really cool too, Colin, is the recognition by others of how powerful this is, because this year Carrollton City and Coweta County will be doing the same thing with the University of West Georgia. So hats off to the university, hats off to Villarica High School for being innovative in their approach to how we meet the needs of students, because education today is different than education, you know, several years ago.
And that circles back to the innovative approach we took. Also, this had sort of a dual role for us, not only offering those opportunities to do that, but it also freed up space on our high school campuses, which again helps us again be a creative way to mitigate some of this growth. And knowing that there's kids that want this opportunity, that opened up classroom space back on our campuses. And so it was a sort of a dual approach in providing the opportunity as well as helping the system.
How long has dual enrollment been available? Is it a decade already?
Gosh, yeah, more than that.
Is it? Long
time. I'll tell you what, I mean, I even took college classes when I went to high school.
Yeah.
So it wasn't called dual enrollment back in the day, but I was able to do that as a high school senior. So it's been around, or the concept's been around for a long time. But the dual enrollment, as we see now, the legislature and the governor, you know, actually refined that, I think, you know, about 15, 20 years ago. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing for our students and the experiences and for our parents, and, you know, especially with the Hope Scholarship and everything that goes along with that. And they can, you know, take college classes and have a lot of that paid while they're in high school. That really can put them ahead. So, again, thank you to our governors and legislators who had the foresight to do that.
So as far as taking the college classes in high school, was that your idea or was that your parents? Or was that somebody in school that encouraged you to do that?
Actually, it was just a combination of working with the university, working with some of our high school principals, and thinking about what do we need to do next for our high school students. I mean, what are the experiences that we are not offering that we could offer that would better prepare them for their future? You know, our mission is to make sure that every student that we graduate is prepared to be enrolled, enlisted, or employed successfully, and then engaged in their community. And so as we stepped back and thought about that, we had a wonderful partnership with Dr. Kelly and the university. We invited them, had a brainstorming session, talked about things we were doing, talked about things we could be doing, and from that evolved this idea. And so it was really a joint idea that we took and were able to run with.
I was actually asking about your personal experience when you were in high school and you decided that you wanted to take a college course. I mean, was it your parents encouraging? Did you have that initiative and that driver? Or was there teachers that saying, hey, this might be available for you?
Quite honestly, it was my teachers.
The teachers,
yeah. I can remember a couple of my teachers who really said, Scott, you need to think about this. It would help you. It would help you get to where you want to go and do the things you want to do. So, we all have those people probably back in our past that we can think about who helped us. And I had some very powerful teachers in my life who helped me not just with ideas like dual enrollment, but with so many things. And I'm so appreciative of that. And one of the reasons I'm in education today is because of the people that influenced my life.
I mean, it does say something about somebody who wants to get done with that quick. And because you have to realize, because once you're done with college, you're expected to go out into the workforce. Some of them are doing it at 20 years old, right? If they're taking that those early classes. Are there ways that the state is visiting these students and seeing how they're doing? The ones that do get into the workforce at age 20 or 21?
The state's doing a good job of tracking a lot of that information and keeping up with that, and our schools are too. So it's becoming more and more a way that our students look at how they prepare for their future.
Yeah, they're anxious to get out at that point. They're thinking, I want to grow up and do all that stuff.
But it's even earlier than that, thanks to the innovative approach of our college career academies. We're allowing students to graduate as a senior in high school certified in specialty areas that are oftentimes taking them normally a two-year track within a technical school or what used to be the case. Now they can actually graduate as a 18-year-old senior from high school certified and able to make the type of income that others are making that's been, in the trade for quite some time, which we're providing that partnership we just started with Sheriff Langley, just right here in our own door, to provide them to be a certified jailer by the time they graduate high school. And Sheriff Langley saying, and we'll hire you immediately right into our program here with the Sheriff's Department. And that's just one example, these construction pathways and different ones where they're actually certified to be able to go ahead and work and make a living right out of high school and a good living at that.
I got two questions. I don't even have enough time to ask them before break. Let's go to the break, and we'll come back with about 6 minutes on this morning's Community Voice program brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
All right, 8:53. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice program. Wrapping up our show here with Carroll County Schools District representatives. We got Superintendent Scott Cowart and Board Chair Bryant Turner. And going back to some of the things we talked about in the last segment, are there fields where maybe again not naming any businesses, but are there fields that you think that maybe local businesses could step in or offer internships or anything that would benefit students? Because it does behoove us as a community to take care of our students. The businesses can actually learn from these youths, from these young kids, and vice versa, obviously. But are there any kind of fields that you would hope maybe somebody could offer up opportunities for students?
Oh, absolutely. With our College and Career Academy program, as Mr. Turner talked about, we've got a number of things. Healthcare is obviously a major one. And again, Tanner, and in so many ways, our local healthcare community steps up to the plate, but we're always looking for more. Engineering is another area. And again, we have a number of internships, not just with Southwire and 12 for Life, but many other people in our community, automotive, culinary arts, you know, graphic design. You know, we've got, you know, so many different pieces to our college and career academy. Here's a cool one. We've even realized in the school system now, in our world, that we hire interns too. And you know, when we think about the different, for example, our Performing Arts Center, we have interns. You know, we have interns that work in our business department and things like that. So there are ways that in our automotive shop, we've got, you know, young people who are in our College and Career Academy automotive program, then intern and work in our garage and with our mechanics. And so there's so many ways. What we really encourage our local community to do in our business is to think about, is there a way for us to offer an internship or work-based learning opportunity for students, because it's powerful. When you add that to the academic part of the academics, then you really set that student up for success.
Yeah, we've even started beginning to offer pathways into education. You know, here we are thinking about all these technical opportunities, and it was sort of right under our noses. Well, what about teachers? You know, what about educators? And so Mr. Cowart and the leadership, you know, began to work on what do we do to begin that path and begin that track. And, you know, recently the governor passed a law, I think just a couple years ago, that even in your senior block of college, that you can be hired to be a part of schools that are in need, that are trying to fill positions, instead of doing the old-fashioned, you know, you do your student teaching block your last senior year, you basically work for free to finish that requirement for the college. The governor opened that up so our systems across state could actually hire them and go ahead and start their career as part of their senior block. So my daughter was a prime example of that, got an opportunity to do that in her senior year, applied and was able to go ahead and begin her teaching career as a senior in college.
All right, we're going to have about 3 minutes. I want to give you guys like a minute to rally up the troops and rally parents and students, you know, as far as being excited about the school year. But we talked about the UWG president. How important is that position for you guys, for that district? I mean, when they make a decision on, you know, who the next president will be at the University of West Georgia, what do you hope that person possesses as far as, you know, I mean, communications and working with the district?
Well, we've been blessed with the last couple presidents in that they have both realize the importance of partnership with the local school system. And so we hope that they'll continue to have someone who will come in and partner with us and really sit down and like Dr. Marrero and Dr. Kelly have done and think about what can we do different? How can we innovate? How can we create something that will be unique for our students and bring experiences to our local community that we don't currently have? So that's what we're looking for, and I'm sure that those involved will do that for us.
All right, guys, we've got 2 minutes. You want to rally the troops? What can, you know, as far as the coming school year, I mean, what do you want to tell students? What do you want to tell parents about maybe even reflecting on what they could have improved upon after last year? And what do you see as strong points, strong suits for the coming year?
Well, three things really quick. Number one, our theme for this year is to elevate. So we're talking across the school system about what is it we can do every day to elevate what we're doing to make our students more successful. So we're committed to that. We want our community to understand that and our parents to understand that. Number two, one of the things that we're really focused on this year is paying attention to literacy and making sure that our elementary students are reading on grade level. We're redoubling our efforts. That's something that's been around for years and years and years, and we've done well with it, but there's more that we can do. And the power of making sure that students are reading on grade level when they come out of elementary school is something that can set them up for future success. And finally, this is something we're really excited about, is, you know, we've had 7 consecutive years of over 90% graduation rate, all 5 of our high schools. Amazing work. And considering that we were at 67% graduation rate in 2010, and this year we were right at 95% graduation rate. But what we need to do is start thinking about not just graduating, but making sure they're totally prepared once they graduate. And that goes back to everything we've been discussing this morning, Colin, you know, when it talks about internships or dual enrollment or, you know, all these pathways. We're really redoubling our efforts, you know, with every single individual student to make sure that they have a pathway that they've identified, and whether they want to be enrolled, employed, or enlisted, that they're going to be ready to do it once they graduate.
Well, guys, here's to a good 2024-25 school year, and hope everybody goes to school this week and they go there with pride and carry that throughout the whole school year, proud of their school and their clusters. Guys, thank you for coming out this morning. And thank you for listening and watching this morning's Community Voice program on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Tomorrow, I don't know who our guest is. Thursday, I know we got a program Thursday and Friday. A special guest scheduled for Friday, and I hope she does join us on that program. So make sure you tune in at least on Friday of this week. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.